Wind waves will be less than 2 feet and a mixed swell of west 2 to 3 feet at 10 seconds and south 3 feet at 16 seconds. Tonight out there, west winds 5 to 15 knots becoming southwest after midnight. Wind waves will be less than 2 feet, west swell 2 to 3 feet at 10 seconds and southwest 3 feet at 15 seconds. And on Sunday, we're going to have the northeast winds 5 knots becoming west in the afternoon. Wind waves will be less than 2 feet, northwest swell 2 to 4 feet at 10 seconds. I also have current temperatures for you here. We've got Monterey at 59 degrees, 61 in Salinas, and Watsonville's at 59 degrees. We're at 61 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO Studios. For your King of the Hill traffic update, nothing major to report at this moment. But if I see something, I'll let you know. And if you see something, you can call me at 475-1080. The official time is 10:07 and 6 seconds on this Saturday, October 15th. Up next, the Saturday special. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
You sure are.
Yes, I am. Yeah. Here I am.
How does it feel to be Nikki James today, be honest?
It feels fantastic.
Is it even better? Is it even better to be Nikki James on a sunny day?
Yeah, you know, of course it is.
It's always better to be MZ on a sunny day.
Oh, yes, it is.
I didn't hear the weather report that you read. I wasn't listening.
Oh, you weren't listening?
Yeah, is it supposed to sun up later?
You know, it's supposed to be kind of in and out, but mostly cloudy, sun will peek out. Tomorrow's going to be, you know, we'll have more sun tomorrow, I think.
So. Oh, good.
Yeah, and I'll talk to the dude upstairs, and we'll see if we can get some more sun for the whole weekend.
You will talk to the dude upstairs. That is great. Let's do that. All right, let's start the show here.
Let's do it.
Good morning, a brighter day is here. Good morning, may we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today you know. On KSCO Radio.
My gosh, the phones are already starting to ring. Hey, welcome to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special. My name is MZ. With me is KZ and a special guest by the name of Ren, whom we will introduce more formally in just a moment. We're going to be on the air right up until 12 noon, and this is an audience participation interview program. We hope you will all participate if you choose to do so. Nikki, I'm going to need you to do the promo because I don't have that here.
Oh, okay. You can bring that up. No worries.
All right.
One of the most thoughtful and articulate emails I have ever received as owner of KSCO came last September from a listener named Ren after hearing a K's commentary on the subject of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and the UN. Part of what he said was, quote, given the power of the platform which you have to dispense one-sided opinions and, dare I say it, propaganda, I'm sure you will agree that the bottom line to all this is peace and justice for all parties concerned. And just as importantly, a commitment to dispensing true facts rather than mere hyperbole, fiery rhetoric, and slanted drivel. It is critically important in this juncture in time, given the upcoming bid at the United Nations for recognized statehood of a free and independent Palestine, that we all appreciate the potential for a lasting solution to the Arab-Israeli debacle. End quote. I invited both Kay and Ren to appear on a Saturday special for an historical retrospective, followed by a respectful and civil discussion of one of the most seminal issues of our world today. Join us this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on Call Us Anything You Want, but one thing we are not is one-sided radio, AM 1080 KSCO.
Welcome, audience, to KSCO Saturday Special. Welcome, Ren Towel. Nice to have you here in the studio.
Ren Towel.
Towel, sorry.
It's okay, you've only heard it once this morning.
Okay. Yeah, it might take me a little bit more than that. Ren Tawil. Okay. So you have been listening to KSCO for some time. I think you became acquainted through the
Coast to Coast AM show.
And as part of that, you have part of getting to know KSCO. You started hearing, listening to Kay's commentaries, which are sprinkled throughout the broadcast day.
Mm-hmm.
And you heard more than one, obviously. Or did you hear one that
no, I've heard a number of them, okay. And I recognize that seemingly half of them seem to have to do with Israel and the Arabs.
Okay. All right, good. Ma, go ahead and you want to do your introduction here.
Okay. Having been
Wait just a second here. Gotta go ahead, Ma.
Having been an owner of KSCO for the past 20 years, about 13 years ago, after the passing of my husband Bernard, I became active in the radio station. I would follow my son Michael, CEO and owner of KSCO, around the station complaining about the local government taking for themselves pensions, etc., all unwanted. Michael suggested several times that I broadcast my complaints on the air. And finally I did, and was happily bewildered by the many emails I received agreeing with me. Excuse me. That encouragement did it for me, so I've been broadcasting a new commentary and playing it every week, and recently was able to publish my first requested book. From the beginning, for the most part, I chose to stay away from religion. About Christianity, I have always had a soft spot in my heart for Jesus, because He taught a dog-and-dog world about love, that we should love one another more. I speak now and then about Israel because I'm Jewish, and often I swell with pride with the accomplishments of that little country, despite the fighting she has been forced to tolerate and still does, just to exist since the inception in 1947. The displaced Arabs were offered a country also in 1947, and many times since. They always decline and say the only thing they want is Israel dead. About Islam, I know very little about that religion. Recently, when today's guest to this Saturday special, your name again, please.
Ren.
Ren wrote to us stating that his father is Muslim and his mother is Christian, and he felt a terrible imbalance in my commentaries. I believe he must be very conflicted. However, I'm not obliged to balance anything. I do not discuss Islam because I know little about it except that it was created in 610 in the Common Era by Muhammad, who was instructed by God to help make humans good and honorable people. Anyhow, our guest sounded like a fair-minded gentleman, and he agreed to spend the next 2 hours with us at KSCO, and will, I am sure, respond honestly to the caller's questions where the balance he asks for may surely come from. For KSCO, this is Case Whirling.
Okay, Ren, take it away.
One vital mistake that Kay made. Am I loud enough?
Sure. Okay. Sure.
Is that I never said my father was a Muslim. He is not Muslim. My father, thank you. My father was a Christian Arab. He passed away in 1971. My mother was, in a very loose sense, a Christian when she was growing up, Christian Science being among the congregations she attended. But my father was actually a Lutheran, following the Lutheran tradition in Jerusalem. All the Protestants seemed to have a hand in Jerusalem.
You did say that he was a Muslim.
I did not.
Have it in writing. Okay.
Not in writing.
No, Mom. No, he did not say that, Mom.
It's okay. It's okay.
American. I'm sorry.
And why are we here? Go on. Excuse me.
Why indeed are we here? you know, the dichotomy between Muslim Arabs and other Arabs, Arabs of other faiths, is not fully appreciated by Western people, by Americans, and perhaps by Europeans. The important thing to remember is the nationhood of Palestinians, the sense of nationhood, nationalism of Palestinians, be they Muslim, Christian, or Jew. There was 100 years ago, around the time of the founding of the Zionist settler colonial movement in Palestine, there were perhaps 1,000 native Jews in Palestine, but they were Arabs. They were the native Jews of Palestine who have been there for many centuries.
So your father was Christian?
My father was Christian, and I grew up in the Lutheran Church, American Lutheran Church.
So I talk about the Christians. So what's the problem?
Well, you're putting the accentuation on the religion of these people.
Well, what is it, if not that?
Should I read some of the letter? Would that be a good thing to do now, do you think?
Sure.
Okay, why don't I read some of the letter that Ren sent to me? It was addressed to you, actually, originally on August 25th, and it's regarding your KSCO commentary of August... Ma, what's the matter? What's the problem
here?
Your folder disappeared? Okay. Maybe I don't think you need a folder. Why don't you guys just speak from the heart, okay? You don't need
that
to be...
That makes me feel good.
Yeah,
good.
Let's just do that. Let's all just right. Not be all tense. It's not necessary. But I'll read some of this letter, okay? And maybe I'll read all of it. We'll see. But then you will understand... Are you still looking for...
I thought maybe I was sitting on it.
Okay. Well, never mind. Here. Okay. Dear Ms. Werling, I write you in high regard and with the greatest sincerity. I trust you will keep that in mind as you read this and reciprocate with like respect. 20,000 attacks and 1,000 deaths is truly a gruesomely high number to embrace. But have you any idea how many more Palestinian deaths have occurred in the same time period? How many instances of humiliating treatment of Arabs by IDF uniformed thugs at the countless checkpoints in the West Bank and previously the Gaza Strip, or when their houses are demolished often for the flimsiest of reasons, or when so many ill and injured Arabs are prevented from access to medical services, including pregnant mothers who sometimes end up giving birth right at the checkpoint, sometimes killing the baby or mother or both. These are not myths. They are supported by documented fact, as are all my statements in this letter. Fighting terrorism is not effectively accomplished by garrisoning the Israeli nation from a disenfranchised, nationless people, by infringing on their land, cutting them off from their fields and their livelihood and from one another in order to protect illegal Israeli settlements populated by hardline militant Zionists. East Jerusalem has seen steady, shameless ethnic cleansing of Palestinian Arabs so that the Jews can nullify PA claims of it as its capital. Defenders of Israel typically have no sense of moral reciprocity. Now, regarding the facts about the conflict. Number one, Israel became a nation in 1312 BCE, 2,000 years before the rise of Islam. Ancient Israel's unstable and intermittent empire fell apart in the end because of the last of the Hebrew people chose to emigrate from there when their state lost all practical cohesion. The original diaspora occurred based on economic and societal concerns, i.e. they were not exiled. The Philistines, predecessors of modern-day Palestinians, on the other hand, preceded the Hebrews who invaded Canaan. Canaan and slaughtered hundreds of natives at a time, all because God told them it was okay to do so, right? One doesn't just waltz in 2,500 years after throwing away one's birthright and then reclaim it based on a conference in Switzerland. Jews and Arabs are both Semitic peoples with common roots. The eventual onset of Islam is irrelevant. Number two, Arab refugees began identifying themselves as part of the Palestinian people in 1967, 2 decades after the... Two decades after the establishment of the modern state of Israel.
The first sentence in each of those paragraphs is a quotation from Kay's commentary.
Okay. All right.
And then my answer.
Challenging everything that I say. That's okay. That's the way.
Okay. All right. So, thank you for making that clear, Ren. I'm going to turn off your mics here. I'm going to finish reading. And let's see here. State of Israel. Okay, nations and nationalities are never born overnight, including ancient Israel. In order for modern American Indian political aspirations to solidify, they had to unite as a common indigenous race and dispense with over-identifying themselves as one particular tribe or another. The same holds true for the Arabs of Palestine, who are still in the birth pangs of emerging legally recognized nationhood, Ms. Whirling, when it comes right down to it. Does it really matter who calls themselves what? The critical thing is that Palestinian Arabs are indigenous to Palestine, not Jews. At least not in the strictest sense of the word. In my opinion, a few recessive chromosomes do not justify usurping the inherent rights of a truly native population. When you refer to so-called Palestinians, end quote, you dehumanize them, making them faceless non-entities by denying their very existence. At any rate, modern Israel was grandfathered into existence by European occupying powers and their lackey Zionist parliamentarians in Great Britain, and the mostly European and Ashkenazim Jewish settlers of 100 years ago are a mere extension of that occupation. Number three, the Arabs are represented by 8 separate nations. The 8 Arab nations initiated all 5 wars and lost. Israel defended itself each time and won, end quote, from one of your commentaries. There are over 20 Arab states represented in the Arab League. You are referring to the 8 countries which did not recognize the new Jewish state in 1948 launched a loosely coordinated attack to stifle its expansion into the already recognized Arab state area of former British Mandate Palestine. You conveniently leave out the fact that well-armed and highly trained Jewish partisans had for several months harassed and expelled Arab civilians from many locations, including Deir Yassin, without defining its borders and killing many in the process, just as the Hebrews did around 1312 BCE. These events occurred before the Arab invasion, in quotes. In reality, it was Israel who initiated hostilities, not the Arabs. 1956, rising Egyptian nationalism saw President Nasser expelling French and British commercial interests from running the Suez Canal and took it over. In a coordinated action, France, Great Britain, and Israel took it back, with the IDF racing westward across Sinai and the other 2 imperial powers parachuted into the canal zone proper. Before too long, Egypt's control of the waterway was restored, and Eisenhower pressured the Israeli government to relinquish Sinai back to its rightful owners back in the days when Washington had the guts to stand up to Tel Aviv. Once again, Israel struck first. 1967, tension over headwaters control and founding of the Palestine Liberation Organization caused a shakeup in the Israeli Defense Ministry, and the hawkish new head of the department sought fast passage by the Knesset of a green light for a surprise attack. 9.5 years in the planning, on three fronts simultaneously, followed very shortly afterwards by the establishment of new expansion settlements, a clear violation of international law concerning lands occupied by force of arms. Original plans called for the IDF to take over, take only a small buffer around Jerusalem and the Gaza Strip and a strategic chunk of Syria's, it's Golan Heights, isn't it pronounced?
Pronunciations.
I'm sorry?
I've heard both pronunciations, okay. Jolan, Golan.
Okay. Fine, so, and yet the Israeli defense forces ran wild in their zealous aggression. Anyone who falls for the Zionist justification of their preemptive strike is a fool. We're almost through here. 1973, the Yom Kippur War. Ma, what is it that's bothering you?
It's too long.
It's too long?
It's
well,
too long.
Okay. All right. The Yom Kippur War was the Yom Kippur War. For the first time in the Israeli-Arab struggle, the Arabs take the military initiative by striking out at Israel's Western Front, reoccupying a sliver of the Sinai Peninsula. Syria managed to take back some of the Golan. Last-minute intervention by the United States prevented Egypt from total reacquisition of their former lands. 1982, Lebanon. This episode largely speaks for itself. I will not try to defend all of Syria's actions in regard to its support of Hezbollah and other groups in southern Lebanon. Indeed, Arab states and the Palestinians have made some drastic mistakes in this conflict, as has Israel. To be sure, however, the IDF was notoriously reckless in its doings in Lebanon, and far too many innocents died so as to make the invasion hardly worth it. Number four. Israel has given the Palestinians most of the West Bank and autonomy under the Palestinian Authority. Big mistake. That's what you said in the commentary. Israel has given nothing to the Arabs in terms of recouped territory. They have systematically only taken that which was not theirs to begin with, Judea and Samaria. As the Jews refer to it, it is still crawling with foreign soldiers, impinging checkpoints, and imposed curfews. The Gaza Strip continues to suffer greatly from a de facto occupation in the form of sealed borders, severely restricted cross-border activity, and no airport or open seaport. I know. I've been there. Some autonomy. As indicated earlier, terrorism breeds in situations of such confinement and injustice. Nothing suffices other than full independence. The Jews determined long ago that they do not want to incorporate more disenfranchised non-Jews into their state, which desires to be exclusively Jewish. Why must the native population wait any longer for true nationhood? Number five, in 1948, the Israeli Arabs left Israel, expecting to return after the eight nations won their initiated wars against Israel. But all that never happened because the Arab nations prefer to use the refugees as political pawns. This thing, that's what you said. This thing about Palestinians obeying radioed orders to evacuate has been highly overplayed. Most of them reacted out of genuine fear for their lives and possessions and out of sheer panic. The Arabs cannot return because Israel forbids them to do so. And that is an inherent quality of political Zionism. Over 900 abandoned villages and towns were bulldozed so as to assure that potential returnees would have no communities to return to. More refugees were generated by the Six-Day War and likewise were kept out of their former homes. So for me, as an American Arab, I do indeed agree with you that anti-Semitism remains rampant.
said you weren't.
What?
Your father wasn't.
Arab. Ma, you said Muslim.
Oh, okay.
You said Muslim,
excuse
and
me.
You were wrong.
Okay.
It wasn't Muslim. It was Arab.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Ma, I think you better relax here. I mean,
oh, you know, Michael, this is taking so long. The whole program will be over.
Well, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Why don't you take over and run the program
now?
What do you want to do?
I think you should. There are times when it would be nice to be able to answer this, and that there are no answers. If, for example, the Arabs that left Israel when Israel said, stay here. You belong with us. Some of them were in the Knesset making laws for Israel. But they decided that they would go with their other Arab people who told them, come with us because we're going to take care of the Israelis and then you can go back. Well, they didn't take care of the Israelis, so the Israelis couldn't take them back when they became their enemies. And what about all these very wealthy Arab countries that could have absorbed their fellow Arabs? And they didn't do that. They left them outside in camps, which they're still in, just so that they can look like political pawns. Why didn't Saudi Arabia help their brethren? Why didn't Syria help their brethren? Should they go back to the country of Israel that they were fighting against? That's not fair either.
Okay. The last thing you were talking about. And forgive me, I have some difficulty keeping my mind on one track on this whole general issue.
Sure.
The broad belief amongst the Arab nations and among the Palestinians is the only place for the Palestinians is in Palestine. Absorption or assimilation of Palestinian Arabs into the various countries, which, by the way, has taken place to a certain degree. The nation of Jordan is 60% former Palestinians, would tend to invalidate their stand that Palestinians should be in Palestine.
Where is Palestine? I'm bewildered.
If you want to go by the colonial boundaries of the past 120 years.
No. Let's go by the ones from now. Where are they?
Palestinian authorities, the PA and the PLO, accept that they refer to the 1967 borders separating the West Bank from present-day Israel and the Gaza Strip. That is accepted to be Palestine.
Well, am I wrong to say that all these 60 years since Israel became a state because the British offered it to them and at the same time offered to the Palestinians a state of their own, and they kept saying, no, we don't want a state. All we want is Israel dead. And they have been saying that for 60 years. And now, all of a sudden, this year, they go to the United Nations and they say, well, we want to be a state now. Well, good, but, you know, what took them so long? Israel didn't stop that. They should have been a state, but they didn't want to. They want Israel dead.
Israel, a few years ago, did warn Yasser Arafat not to declare a national state of Palestine because they would invade and prevent the creation of the state.
Well, I don't have to believe that because you're saying it. Nobody else knows
well,
that
Kate,
either.
Well, I'm sure you wouldn't be interested in reading the many resource materials that I have with me. You can do the research yourself. You can look it up on the web. And instead of just sticking by the Stand With Us website, which apparently you've been doing, or just been suggested you've been using, to get your information, you should look for more neutral sources.
Can you please explain to me why the Palestinians do not want their own state instead of waiting around for Israel to be dead? That's not going to happen. Don't they want to be their own people and have their own state and be responsible for their own doings? How much longer is this going to go on? 60 years have gone by, and they still don't want a state of their own. And that's not Israel's fault.
Well, Kay, it's not true that the Palestinians do not want a state of their own.
Well, that's what we're hearing on our media all the time.
I don't think so. No, it's not as clear cut as that. They've got the Palestinian Authority, which is the governing body of this so-called autonomous West Bank and Gaza Strip, has gone to the United Nations in their bid for nationhood, because indeed they have been waiting for 63 years for something to happen, for some recognition.
They want Israel dead. That's all they're waiting for.
Well, you know, Kay, in my email response to your commentary, I noted that people have to strike a civil tone when they talk about this. And when you use flat oversimplifications like the Arabs only want Israel dead, it doesn't help matters.
That's what they say. I didn't make it up.
Many of them have said that. There are always going to be Arabs and Palestinians who don't or won't recognize a Jewish state in Palestine.
What's that got to do with them owning their own state? They won't do it. The United Nations has offered. It's been offered. Where do we go from here?
Offered by whom? By Israel?
No, Israel has nothing to do with offering anything. Israel is a tiny little nation where you can drive from I've said this many times, from the south to the north in 8 hours, and east to west in 3 hours. It's a tiny little place, and incredible what they've been able to do with that.
And Palestine, as it exists today, or the proposed state of Palestine, is even tinier than Israel. The West Bank and Gaza Strip comprise less than a quarter, 22% of the original British mandate, Palestine. And even large portions of that 22% have been demanded to be retained by Israel because of settlement blocks, which shouldn't be there in the first place. And
audience.
Because
what is it, Ma?
It's time for the audience to participate.
Well, I think it's time for a commercial break.
Okay.
Actually, so yeah, Nikki, we will be right back. Nikki's going to do the honor. She's the pilot in command. You're listening to the Saturday Special with Ren Tawil and Kay Zwirling and MZ. We're talking about the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, and trying to get some information out. And we're going to be opening the phone lines here fairly soon. Stay with us. We will be right back after this commercial break.
Have you ever walked on a rainbow? Have you ever had your dreams come true?
If you wished you had gorgeous carpeting throughout your house, but are afraid to get it because your 5-year-old loves eating his cherry popsicle while riding the Labrador like a horse, fear no longer. Your carpet is waiting for you during Rainbow Carpet One's Spellebration Savings Event. For a limited time, they're offering up to 50% off select Lee's carpets. This super stain-resistant carpet withstands the nastiest spills, including cola, chocolate milk, juice, red wine, and more. Come in during Rainbow Carpet One's Spellebration, and you can also enjoy up to 50% off select hardwood and laminate floors. Plus, take advantage of special 36 6-month 0% financing. Lower prices than the big box stores. 10 times the selection. Nobody beats Rainbow Carpet One in Santa Cruz, Watsonville, and Gilroy. Shop them online now at rainbowcarpet1.com.
Ben Lomond Market, Scotts Valley Market. Low price, great savings, quality and service that doesn't always cost you more.
Hi, I'm Andy, the produce manager at Ben Lomond Market. This week we are featuring Washington Honeycrisp apples, $1.69 a pound. And Oregon D'Anjou pears and Comice pears, 99 cents a pound. California Danish squash, spaghetti squash, and butternut squash, 69 cents a pound. Nothing better than a baked squash for your fall dinner menu. In organics, we are featuring Fuji apples and Gala apples, $1.69 a pound. And Oregon red potatoes and Yukon gold potatoes, 99 cents a pound. New items this week, the D'Anjou pears, Comice pears, Fuyu persimmons, packaged cranberries. In organics, new items include Seckel pears and Kiwi berries. Don't forget to check out our great pumpkin patch while you enjoy our great selection of fresh produce at Ben Lomond Market and Scotts Valley Markets.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Hello, Charlie Friedman here. Listen to the things your friends and neighbors are doing for themselves with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Microwave repair.
Robotic arm with controller for eShed industrial arm.
Tesla coil for my rail gun.
Dead tricks upgrades.
Drive for a telescope.
A tube amp for my guitar.
Submersible sensors for NASA.
Ethernet cable for my new iMac.
Solar powered gate.
Instrument panel for an airplane.
Wiring my hot rod.
Upgrading PC system.
Help with home wiring.
Custom audio cables for recording studio.
High voltage electronic ignition circuit.
Building a spaceship.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Voted best electronics store 2 years running. Call Santa Cruz Electronics today at 831-479-5444 or visit at 2808 Soquel Avenue in Santa Cruz. Do it yourself and save money with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Dave Allen here. Remember this. Sundays, 4 p.m., for an array of different world-acclaimed, eclectic, esoteric conversation and guests. Every Sunday at 4 p.m., right here on AM 10 KSL, and realize why...
I'm not going nowhere. I've got to stay.
Every Saturday from noon to 1, the Perspectives Radio Show is heard on KSCO. Every week, they interview well-known experts on a variety of topics such as holistic health, constitutional issues, and local and national issues. For example, they would like everyone in Santa Cruz County to know that the Planning Department policy of handing out red tags to thousands of homes has been declared illegal by the state of California's 6th Court of Appeals. Listen in every Saturday from noon to 1 to Perspectives as they discuss these and many other important issues.
There's a kind of hush all over the world tonight, all over the world. You can hear the sounds of lovers in love. You know what I mean? Just the two of us and nobody else in sight.
Way to go, Nikki. They don't make better pilots in command than thou. You always know what the most appropriate bumper music is.
She puts us all in a good mood.
Yeah, God, that took all the tension out of the air, huh?
Right.
Yeah. All right. Folks, you should have been listening here. It's too bad I should have just put the mic on, but then that would have drowned out the commercials. What is going on here? I think I have the volume turned up too loud here. Welcome back to hour number one of the Saturday special. Ren Tawil and Kay Zwirling are the special guests today. We're talking about the Arab-Israeli conflict. Ren has been frustrated in the past listening to Kay's commentaries and feeling like he wants to get some, wants to answer these a lot of the things that he hears in these commentaries. And before the break, I read a good portion of the email that he sent to me about a month, month and a half ago, or sent to Mom, actually, and through me, mz at ksco.com. I thought we both thought it would be really good to have Ren come on and talk about his perspective, which is quite different from my mother's perspective here. We are going to open the phone lines at any time. We're going to open it now, actually. The phone number is 479-1080 in area 831. That's 479-1080. We invite anyone to participate to either ask questions about the history of the conflict. Israel became a state in 1948, so it's actually more than 60 years, Maude, 63 years now that Israel has existed as a state. And it's very, very, it's a very, very complex issue here, but I people just got to talk. They got to talk about complex issues if there's ever any hope of a chance of solving the problem.
Not only must they talk, but the talk, each party in discussions must voluntarily accept a big part of the opposing party's truths. Each side must recognize the validity of the opposite side's arguments. And this is why there has been no peace, as each side claims 110% monopoly on the truth on this. And large countries like the United States of America tend to side so heavily with the Israelis that it's taken for granted. There's a pervasive sense of Israel can do no wrong in the United States, and it's only lip service.
I don't know about that. To me, Ren, that there's an awful lot of anti-Israeli sentiment in the news.
If put another way, wouldn't you say that that the United States is the only country in the world that is on Israel's side? Almost. And you won't, and
the United
you will
States,
agree.
Yeah. The United States does have a massively powerful lobbying group called the American Israel Public Affairs Committee.
Yeah, but this is a whole big world we have of other countries, and they have brains also.
AIPAC is recognized. AIPAC has an annual budget of $65 million and some 100,000 members, and is recognized in Washington as one of the most powerful and effective lobbying groups. KU yourself had some severe words to say against lobbyists in a recent commentary.
Yes.
You should recognize that AIPAC is indeed, on many counts, the strongest. And
so, what do you say to that? You don't want the United States to support Israel?
Israel supporters and AIPAC are exceptionally powerful and influential in the U.S. And the result of this is U.S. tax dollars, relatively massive amounts of U.S. tax dollars going to support going into the military budget for Israel. Israel is the largest recipient of foreign aid
from
the United States.
Yeah, right.
They receive more than the entire continent of Africa.
Okay. So, what do you want to do about that?
Well, Israel is a relatively successful country. It
contributes a great deal
but
to the rest of the world.
It still receives the American tax dollars to this nth degree. While they're doing so well economically, I mean, Israel does have its occasional labor problems, etc. But Israel is not a third world country. They are doing well on their own.
Isn't that good?
And it's it. That is good. But I'm saying what is not good is the fact that they continue to receive so much taxpayers' money from America.
Okay. Guess what? Our phone lines are one line from being jammed. So
good.
All right. So let's take our first call to the Saturday special today, and that would be from Millie in Aptos. Millie, you're on the air. Hello, Millie. Boy, I wonder, for some reason, I don't know. Oh, I guess I have to turn the mic on here. Millie, are you there now?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was
always here.
Clearly. Yeah, I wasn't always here, and I just realized there was a new system here, and I haven't been flying solo with the system long enough. So.
Hi, Millie.
Hi, and I want to thank Kay and Michael and the rest of the staff for allowing the public to hear both sides of this question that has been mainly one-sided for about 18 years. This is a real quality program. Is it Ren? How do you spell your name, guest?
R-E-N. My first name is Lawrence, and Ren is a diminutive, my nickname, taken from
R-A-N, you'd like to go by?
R-E-N, Ren.
Ren. I have two somewhat complicated questions. The first one is, I'm very familiar with the history, and so in the first century, of course, there was the Roman occupation of the so-called Holy Land, and after the destruction of the Second Temple, most of the Israelis fled. Now, in your opinion, what percentage of the original inhabitants did leave? And I know where they went. They circulated all over North Africa and eventually into Spain and into Europe. And we all know that story, I hope.
The diaspora, yes.
Yes, with the diaspora. And incidentally, there's almost nothing written on the diaspora. Another time, maybe I can reach you and you can give me some references. Most people have never heard of the diaspora. But about what percentage of the Israelis fled Israel at that time, at the second, after the destruction of the Second Temple?
Millie, thank you for the question. Let me make it clear, as I made it clear to Michael and Kay before this show, I am not a scholar on this subject. I'm a private citizen who has tried to take a close look at mostly the current facts, and I have some limited knowledge of the history of the region. I have no figures.
Well, I'll let that go then.
Well, I simply have no figures on the percentage which left. But I will say that if most of the Jews did leave or were chased out by the Roman occupation, ancient Roman occupation, then this is one of many ups and downs in the history of the Hebrew people and the Israelites. Probably some of them eventually came back, and one thing led to another, and they couldn't maintain their state. So, and then the diaspora occurred.
Anyhow, Millie, we want to get on to a bunch of other callers. I think you have another question, am I right?
I have another question,
okay.
Yes.
Would you move on to that, please?
And that is,
hello?
Jewish people were released from the despicable camps. Who made the decision that they would be allowed to, by boat, enter... disembark at Haifa when other people were living there and had been there for well over 1,000 years.
Yes.
So how did this happen?
Well, the camps you're speaking of, you're referring to isolations of Jewish people following the Second World War, mostly in Europe, and mainly thanks to help from the British government, they were allowed passage into Haifa and Palestine to bolster the already growing Jewish population.
But why are people so surprised that the original inhabitants there would be mortified that a huge group of people were being unleashed onto their soil? That's the injustice of the whole thing.
Yeah, that is a key truth, which is, in my opinion, not fairly looked at by enough people. Israel is seen as a country which is bordered by all these enemy Arab states, which just happens to be a reality of geography.
I'll just say one last comment, and that is, it appears to me that for political reasons, both Britain and United States chose to supply the original inhabitants, the Arabs, with incredible arms so as to allow them, the Israelis from Europe, to come in and take over. That's how it appears to me. Because without that help, it would have been a different story. And thank you very much, Kay and Michael, for allowing me to speak.
Thank you, Millie. Here's our next caller. That'll be Phil. Oops. Oh, my gosh. You got called back here. I'm just... Scott in Tahoe, you're on the air. Right. Scott, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, you're on the air.
Okay. I wanted to say that I think a lot of the problem in the United States is you have these two competing narratives. You know, the Palestinian narrative, the Israeli narrative, they very seldom intersect or really address each other. They just talk past each other. And one thing I think is largely unappreciated in the West, or especially the United States, is the Arabs really have come to accept the existence of Israel in their midst. And it's not a wholehearted or full-hearted or philanthropic or altruistic change of heart. It's just an accommodation to the fact that the state's been there for 60 years, and their future is bound up with Israel, whether they like it or not. So you have things like, in 1983, in the Madrid peace talks and the Oslo peace accords, the Palestinian Liberation Organization actually formally recognized the state of Israel at that time. I don't know if Kay is aware of this, but when she says they've always been devoted to the death of Israel and opposed to any settlement with Israel, in 1988 and 1993, the Palestinians explicitly recognized the state of Israel in the 1967 borders. And then in 2002, what's called the Saudi Peace Plan or the Arab Peace Initiative, all 22 Arab states, every single Arab state signed on to a statement by the Arab League that said they were willing to exchange a full peace, a warm peace with Israel in exchange for Israel's withdrawal to the 1967 borders. The 1967 borders would leave Palestine with 22% of what they originally thought of as their land, and Israel would have 78% of what of land that was known as Palestine.
And Netanyahu says that that would be an indefensible position for Israel. Do you disagree with that, caller Scott?
Netanyahu actually agrees with that position, at least politically. He says that there would have to be minor border adjustments to reflect the population of the Jewish settlements and so on. So it's an odd thing. You know, I've been advocating a two-state solution since 1975, where Israel would live alongside a Palestinian state. The real tragedy, I think, was the assassination of Rabin, the prime minister of Israel. And
that was a big drawback, yes. That was a painful episode.
His assassination, you know, in the 5 years following Rabin's assassination under a liberal Labor Prime Minister Ehud Barak, who's now in Netanyahu's government, you know, the number of settlers and the number of settlements actually doubled after the Palestinians said they would accept the they would make peace with Israel.
I hate to do this, Scott. If you want to hold over till the next hour, that's fine, but we're right at the end of the hour. KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 11 a.m. Here's Fox News.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Riegel. In Italy, an Occupy protest turns violent as a small contingent of protesters smash store windows, burn cars, and throw rocks.
The biggest demonstration was in Rome, where anger over the state of the Italian economy combined with protests against the Berlusconi government's handling of the crisis. In the shadow of the Colosseum, there were clashes with police. Vehicles were set alight. The authorities responded with tear gas. Only yesterday, the Italian Prime Minister survived a vote of no confidence. The country's deaths are second only to Greece. Its credit rating has been downgraded.
That's Ian Woods with our sister network, Sky News. In New York today, the protesters of Occupy Wall Street plan to march into Times Square.
It's learning itself what it's about. I think the main thing is that it's a way of letting anger come out without hurting anybody.
Earlier today, the protesters demonstrated against Chase Bank, saying they took a taxpayer bailout and have done little to show appreciation for that. In Yemen, a number of militants apparently taken down.
A U.S. drone strike in southern Yemen killed seven al-Qaeda-linked militants, including the son of U.S.-born cleric Al-Laki, killed in a similar attack last month. The deaths were confirmed by government officials and also shows how Washington's growing interest to use drone strikes to target al-Qaeda militants in Yemen is growing. Meanwhile, in the capital of Sana'a, forces loyal to President Ali Abdullah Saleh opened fire on thousands of protesters, killing at least nine and wounding dozens. In the Middle East, Rena Nine and Fox News Radio.
Apple will hold a memorial service for Steve Jobs at Stanford University tomorrow. The Wall Street Journal says the invitations have gone out and that the event is private. Steve Jobs died October 5th at the age of 56. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
9,997. No.
Suppose Thomas Edison had given up.
9,998.
But his failures only led him to the next idea.
9,999.
Picture Times Square, dim, Las Vegas, dark, your home, black. Picture no electric light. Optimism. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Judge Napolitano is on the case, policing big government, exposing bureaucrats, safeguarding your rights.
The Constitution was written to limit the government. When politicians cross that line, I'll be there.
The judge is taking the toughest issues head on. Exclusive interviews, hard-hitting investigations. The one show delivering a message straight to D.C.'s power players.
From Capitol happenings to Supreme Court surprises, we're in the middle of it all.
Catch Freedom Watch weeknights at 8 Eastern, only on Fox Business. The power to prosper.
An Oregon bus driver still has her job after calling out the mother of a crying baby.
Officials with the TriMet Transit Agency say the driver was appropriately disciplined after unreasonably dealing with a mother and her crying two-year-old in a Portland suburb. The driver told the mother that she wouldn't move the bus until the toddler was quiet. The mother, who could be seen on video patting and rocking the child, got off the bus and called her husband for a ride. Other passengers followed in protest. Over the past year, the same driver has been the subject of three dozen other customer service complaints. Pam Husso, Fox News Radio.
A high school football player in upstate Homer, New York, is dead after suffering a head injury during a game. The school says the boy was taken to the hospital after being hurt in the third quarter and later died. He was a junior. He was able to sit up and complained of a very bad headache. He then collapsed when he tried to stand. Orlando. Getting yet another theme park.
Legoland opens this weekend in Central Florida.
And I think it's a really welcome addition in terms of the portfolio for families with children aged 2 to 12.
Says Adrian Jones, the park's manager. It features Lego sculptures of wild animals and other things, all larger than life, plus a wooden roller coaster left behind from Cypress Gardens, Florida's first amusement park, built in the 30s on the same site. Paul DeLela of the nearby Best Western Hotel is probably more excited than anybody.
Financial payoff should be
tremendous.
A theme park across the street means more business. In Miami, Eben Brown, Fox News Radio.
In Ohio, prosecutors are investigating a hair-cutting attack against several Amish people. It's unusual for the deeply private Amish to ask for help from law enforcement. Five men have been charged with forcefully cutting the beards and hair of several men and women in recent weeks. Among the Amish, beards are grown and kept long in accordance with biblical teachings. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSCO 1080. I'm Nikki James. Got your forecast here. We got some mostly cloudy skies today. Hopefully that sun will peek out. A high of 76, south-southeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight's going to be mostly cloudy, low of 56 with light winds. And tomorrow, partly sunny, high of 74. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Out there on the Monterey Bay, west winds 5 knots, increasing 5 to 15 this afternoon. And wind waves will be less than 2 feet with a mixed swell. West 2 to 3 feet at 10 seconds, and south 3 feet at 16 seconds. Tonight, west winds 5 to 15 knots, becoming southwest 5 knots after midnight. Wind waves will be less than 2 feet. West swell 2 to 3 feet at 10 seconds, and southwest 3 feet at 15 seconds. On Sunday out there, northeast winds 5 knots, becoming west in the afternoon. Wind waves will be less than 2 feet and a northwest swell of 2 to 4 feet at 10 seconds. Got some current temperatures for you here. In Monterey, it is 61 degrees. It is 63 in Salinas, and Watsonville's at 61. We're at 63 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSCO studios. For your King of the Hill traffic update, nothing to report right now on my CHP page. If you see something out there, you can call me at 475-1080. Official time, 11:07 exactly, on this Saturday, October 15th. Up next, the second hour of the Saturday special. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
Just out of curiosity.
Yes, sir.
Do we ever give a Queen of the Hill traffic update?
I know. You know what? I actually thought about that once. But because they're associating KSCO as a, male, and so it's King of the Hill. KSCO is the King of the Hill.
Do you take umbrage that KSCO is thought of as a male-oriented station?
Well, you know what? We get hurricanes.
All right.
Women get hurricanes.
Okay.
Because hurricanes are considered female. Right? Because they're called
definitely
hurricanes.
Hurricane instead of himicanes, yeah. No, I understand.
I don't know. You know what? Whatever. I mean, King of the Hill, I don't know. That's just how it was explained to me.
Okay.
I'll say Queen of the Hill. I don't care.
Might as well.
I might as well.
For balance.
Because I am a queen.
Be a balanced radio station.
I like being the queen.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
Okay.
So let's see. I guess we need to officially start our... What'd you say, Ren?
Can I say a couple of quick quotations here?
Sure.
From Ariel Sharon. Back when he was head of state in 1998, I believe he was prime minister back then. Ariel Sharon, quote, "Everybody has to move, run, and grab as many hilltops as they can. Everything we don't grab will go to them." And, of course, he was speaking of the attempt at a settlement and the establishment of boundaries just 2 years before the second Camp David Accords. He was speaking to his fellow Jews about grabbing up all the land that they didn't want to leave to the Palestinians. Much earlier quote by Ariel Sharon, 1973, and this was said to Winston Churchill III, quote, "We'll make a pastrami sandwich of them. We'll insert a strip of Jewish settlement in between the Palestinians and then another strip of Jewish settlement right across the West Bank so that in 25 years' time, neither the United States nor the United Nations, nobody will be able to tear it apart, end quote.
Well, you know what we forgot to do? We forgot to open up hour number two officially. So let's do that now.
Still,
yeah.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back.
All right, we're going to go back to the phone lines. Scott from Tahoe is going to finish up his call, and we're going to have Phil in Santa Cruz. Then we got wide open lines at 479-1080, so give us a call.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really got to go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
Our apologies for having to interrupt you, Scott, in Tahoe, but the news came up and the alligator got us here. So you were saying?
So I just want to, you know, I mentioned the Oslo Peace Accords where Palestinians formally recognized Israel, legally recognized Israel within its 48 borders, and also the Saudi Peace Plan, the Arab Peace Plan in 2002, which offered full peace with all the Arab states. And so I just want to say one thing. I appreciate the tone that you're trying to strike with the discussion. And I think, you know, it's like Reagan and Gorbachev as they tried to dismantle the Cold War. Nobody would expect the Israelis or the Palestinians to trust the other party at this time. But when there are good faith, or when they're, even if they're not tested to be good faith yet, when there's an offer like the Saudi peace plan, you would think the United States and Israel would rush to see if, test it and see if it's in fact sincere. But all the Arab states are saying, yeah, let's settle this problem with Israel. Let's recognize them. Let's have a Palestinian state next door. The Palestinians are saying the same thing. It's a tragedy that the United States and Israel didn't jump on that right away.
Okay.
And say, let's test it. Because when sweeping statements are made, all the Arabs want their death and they've never accepted the state of Israel. All of that is very, it's not true according to recent developments.
Okay, Scott, thank you. Are you a regular listener? You just to KSCO lives here. You happen to be in Tahoe now, or you listen from Tahoe all the time?
You know me, Mike. It's Scott Kennedy.
Through
Lake Tahoe, so I appreciate you letting me come online.
Okay, great. Thanks, Scott.
I'm listening to you on the radio.
Okay. On the internet.
Yep.
Cool.
Thanks.
Okay, great. Take care. Be safe
thank
here.
You.
Now here is what's going on, Ren? You wanted to say something?
I was just saying hello to Scott.
Oh, okay.
Scott was one of my resource people in preparation for the show.
Right. Okay, here comes Phil in Santa Cruz, whom I accidentally hung up on earlier. Phil, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, Michael, you need a manual for that control panel, don't you?
No, I just need to be here more often and just get into the swing of things here.
And another item... Nikki's music, that's really appropriate. That last piece is really appropriate to this, too. Cause
it sure broke the ice.
The Hatfields and the McCoys.
Yeah.
That's this
we're
reminds.
All in a good mood now.
Yeah. Well, I just have a suggestion and then a question, which Millie, I think, stole part of my thunder. But are you going to post Ren's letter in its entirety on your... website for this Saturday morning special because you didn't get to
idea.
Read it all.
That's yeah, an you, idea. Why don't we? Yeah, that's a good idea.
I think if you would post his letter in its entirety and then let Kay respond in writing because she's eloquent with the writing, you know, when she can collect her thoughts and write something down, and then Kay can respond to it, and that way we can look at it and read it and get both perspectives on the issue. And actually, in the real world, a lot of times the truth doesn't matter. The perception is what matters because that's what drives people to violence and war and everything else is what they think. So
hey, that's well put.
And the victors in war generally write the histories.
Well, afterwards they do, yes. But if you could read those perspectives beforehand, maybe you could avoid the war because once war starts, there's nothing that matters but strength, brute strength. So anyway, the question I had, the same thing that Millie brought up, I thought that the I can't pronounce it very well, but I thought that the Romans are the ones that really crushed the Israeli state and scattered them everywhere, because the Romans were brutal with anyone who opposed them. And but you've already touched on that, so be that as it may, I think that's a part of the history that is extremely important that I don't think you summarized very well in your statement there, Ren. Maybe you could do some more research on that.
I will.
But anyway, that's all I had to say. And
thank you.
It's a good show, but I think if both sides could put their historical perspectives and in writing, and then people would hit your website a lot more, and we could all learn something from it.
Sounds like a plan to me. Appreciate your suggesting it, Phil.
Okie doke.
Okay, there goes Phil in Santa Cruz. And by the way, guess what? No more callers. And that doesn't seem right. Maybe there are no more callers because they think that they can't get in. 479-1080 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you here on the Saturday special. We have Ren Tawil and Kay Zwirling here talking about the Arab-Israeli situation here. And why in the world can't we get that fixed somehow? So that's the topic for the rest of the Saturday special. Why don't we go for a commercial break right now? Are you ready, Nikki? Yeah?
I was thinking your mom's commentary.
Oh, you want to do that? Sure. Let's do a departure while we're waiting for other phone calls that we hope are forthcoming. 479-1080. In the meantime, here is the world premiere of the latest Kay's commentary. I don't think it's related. Am I right?
Yeah. It's from my book.
Oh, okay. Go for it.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay Zwirling.
This commentary is in my book. I wrote it almost 7 years ago, and I believe nothing much has changed regarding this very important issue. On April the 6th, 2005, I felt a sense of revulsion at the extent to which our country and Canada, and now all of Europe, have been poisoned by the intrusion of political correctness. That day, the front page headline in the Sentinel was, quote, "Student protest disrupts job fair." Unquote. 200 UCSC student protesters loudly demanded that the military recruiters lawfully participating in the job fair on campus be forced to leave. University administrators actually validated the undemocratic student protest and forced the military recruiters to leave. What should have happened, at the very least, is that the protesters should have been forced to leave, and at best, all of them should have been expelled. The loudmouth pipsqueak inmates are being encouraged to run the asylum, which we the people pay for. In Sunday, May 15th, Sentinel, still 2005, we learned that our own twice-time Mayor Mike Rodkin, longtime UCSC instructor and much too longtime Santa Cruz political activist, publicly complimented the student protesters for evicting the military recruiters. Is it any wonder that new businesses will no longer dream of locating in Santa Cruz? And is it any wonder that we are in a constant budget deficit and our roads are full of potholes because of Mike Rodkin and his ilk running the show for so long? May 21st, 2005, our city will have the first armed services parade initiated by parents of Vietnam veterans and all other veterans. Michael Rodkin, the mayor, has agreed to attend. Mayor, if you have integrity, you cannot have it both ways. Back to the student protesters. You should know that their behavior against military recruiters is being condoned and encouraged in all of the UC campuses, where 85% of the professors are liberal and only 15% are conservatives. And now, in 2011, that imbalance is still the case. This is a fact. University instructor recruiting is in the hands of the left. Political indoctrination has no place in institutions of higher learning, where all sides of issues should be permitted and encouraged in a mutually respecting environment. How many of these loud-mouthed, one-sided teachers and professors of military age will scurry to Canada if we are forced to initiate the draft again? Probably many of them. The same ilk which defends criminals and evildoers and ignores victims' rights and hates the U.S. but enjoys the benefits therefrom. Finally, kudos to the Sentinel for describing fairly and in detail this deplorable situation where military recruiters continue to endure spitting and even bodily injury by student protesters. Why is this behavior permitted? Because not all, but many high school teachers, university, and college professors condone and encourage these actions and have the students do their dirty work for them. For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
The long-requested book of Kay's commentaries is now available for purchase online at our KSCO.com website, right on the homepage, for $24.95 plus shipping and handling, if applicable. Treat yourself to this wonderful book full of Kay's wisdom, thoughts, and humor. It makes a great gift, and all proceeds support KSCO, your favorite radio station. Go to KSCO.com and buy Kay's book today.
And the holidays are coming up quicker than we can all imagine here, so it's a good time to stock up on Kay's book. They make great gifts. Right, Ma?
Right. Okay. Can we talk about what happened last week at the United Nations?
Well, hold on just a second. I want to get one caller, and David from San Francisco is on the line here, okay?
Good.
So let's bring him on and say welcome to KSCO.
Hi,
David. You're on the air.
Hey, hi, Michael. And Kay, and I didn't catch your...
Wren, R-E-N.
Hello.
Okay, and then, Wren, did you have a website? You had been referring to a letter and whether you were going to put it online.
Oh, that would be on KSCO.com. That would be our website, and we'll get to that. I'll make that happen sometime this weekend with our webmaster.
I tuned in late, so I'm not really clear about, you know, where I'd like to take this. But if I understand right, you know, you're talking about the horrors of what's going on in the Middle East. And
well, one of our KSCO listeners, Wren, was disturbed some weeks ago that what he feels was is a one-sided presentation of the Arab-Israeli conflict on KSCO.
Sure.
And he wrote a long and thoughtful email to me. And so we decided that it would make sense to have him on the radio, and happily he agreed.
All right, well,
that's
great.
Where we are.
I'm lucky enough. I get Link TV, and I'm able to see Mosaic and a couple of other very good news broadcasts that actually show you know, news broadcasts from throughout the Middle East. And what I'm a great admirer of Albert Einstein. And Albert Einstein originally was a Zionist, but he changed his tune very quickly in about 1946 or 47 and came to the belief that organized crime was in charge of the Zionists. And so he totally turned a 180 and opposed Menachem Begin. Menachem Begin came into the United States back then doing a fundraising pitch. And as a matter of fact, there's a kind of a famous organized crime book called The Last Mafioso with Louis the Weasel Fracciano. And in it, there's if you look in the index of that book, you'll see Menachem Begin's tour of the United States and how Bugsy Siegel and I'm trying to think of some of the other organized crime figures were essentially doing money laundering of their own supporters, and that they had a shipload full of guns that they were going to ship off to the early Zionists, and they essentially stole their money, kept the guns, sank the ship, and nobody knows, and then, you know, wrote it off on insurance. And so they scammed everybody.
It is true that Einstein changed his tune from being pro-Zionist to being anti-Zionist.
It is absolutely true, yeah. And you just go to any of the biographies. As a matter of fact, J. Edgar Hoover and those old boys who were, if you read the biographies of J. Edgar Hoover, J. Edgar Hoover was actually spending, Meyer Lansky is the fellow I was just thinking of with the Bugsy Siegel. Meyer Lansky was the organized crime money launderer. And J. Edgar Hoover, according to the biographies that came out in the 90s, J. Edgar Hoover would take two vacations a year. Each vacation was 6 weeks long, and for 2 weeks of those 6 weeks, he would sit by the poolside with Meyer Lansky so that they couldn't be wiretapped, and that organized crime figures would come up and put their arms around J. Edgar Hoover and have themselves photographed with him. And so it's very plain that J. Edgar Hoover was involved. He was probably even a bigger godfather than Meyer Lansky. And J. Edgar Hoover started investigating Albert Einstein when Einstein changed his tune about the Zionists. So this whole thing about the land grab, for example, when they were bombing Gaza just a year or so ago, it came out that there's a, forgotten the guy's first name, but there's a very wealthy billionaire that's trying to get the shoreline of Gaza for a big resort hotel. And so the idea that they were bombing Gaza just for this real estate developer, you know, looks very much like Catch-22. You know, the idea that they would bomb their own land in order to make it easier to do a redevelopment project.
Israel is also very interested in the natural gas fields that lie underneath the Mediterranean Sea just off the Gaza coast, which rightfully and legally belongs to the Gazans, to the Palestinian Gazans. And Israel is trying to just usurp that, the recognition of that right, and take over control of the natural gas fields.
Hey, right. David, are you a normal a KSCO listener?
Oh, I listen quite often. Yeah. I get down there. I have friends in Capitola, so I get down there quite often.
I see.
But just to wrap up, I mean, this whole idea that they're playing the religions against each other. You know, in other words, if you were a prophet and you wrote and you prophesied something and it came to pass, and then you wanted to show off about it, you'd write it down. Ha ha, this is what I did. I'm great and wonderful. Well, then somebody reading it 10 years later, 40 years later, is going to read it as if it's a potential future event. And that's basically where we're going with these dumb neocon religious nuts that are claiming that the apocalypse is yet to come. They were, you know, those old writings were about Nero, you know, 90 years after Christ. So, you know, the neocons and the people who are playing the religions against each other are just essentially facilitating the ease in seizing land for these oil and gas boys or the organized crime or the, you know, the various entities that are stealing water and other natural resources from other people throughout the world. And it's, you know, for them to play it as if it's the apocalypse is just more of an insult to the religion than it is to civilization.
Hey, David, thanks for your call to the Saturday special. We do appreciate it.
Hey, thanks again.
Okay, there goes David in San Francisco. That opens a line. In fact, we got a whole pile of lines. Open at 479-1080. That's area 831. You could email me, mz@ksco.com. Why no callers? Wang Wei, W-Y. How, you know who Wang Wei is? W-A-N-G, and then W-E-I. Send an email saying, why no callers? The last time someone had an opinion on Israel you didn't agree with, you called them an anti-Semite. I assume this is written to me. I don't remember that. I think we bend over backwards to be more than fair on this station. But why doesn't Wang Wei or Wang Wei call in to the program now? 479-1080. Go ahead, Nikki. Let's take a commercial break.
Calling all painters, artists, and teachers. The Palace Art Semi-Annual Truckload Canvas Sale is on now with savings of 60 to 70% off list price.
That's right, Brooke. Get your brushes out. It's time to start painting.
Twice a year, Mabel, and only twice a year, Palace lowers the prices of Stretch Artist Canvas to 60 to 70% off list price.
Let's grab the hand trucks, Brooke, because these Stretch Canvas deals are so good, we'll have lots of work to do. There's tons of sizes, and we even have cases of the new black canvases on sale, too.
Don't wait, folks. Stock up on Stretch Canvas now and get ready for those rainy days of winter. Palace stores are located in downtown Santa Cruz next to Cinema 9 on Pacific Avenue or in Capitola near Orchard Supply on 41st Avenue. Calling all painters, artists, and teachers.
Hurry into Palace to get the best selection and get them while they last.
Palace is a proud member of Think Local First Santa Cruz. Like them on Facebook.
The 2011 Open Studios Art Tour, a program of the Cultural Council of Santa Cruz County, features nearly 300 artists who will open their studios to you October 1st and 2nd, 8th and 9th, and 15th and 16th. Purchase the Open Studio Artist Guide calendar containing maps to all open studios. Find a silver ticket and win up to $300 to use like cash at any 2011 Open Studio. Your purchase helps fund the arts and arts education. And don't miss the preview exhibits beginning September 24th at the Santa Cruz Art League and our Blitzer Gallery. Learn more at 831-475-9600 and online at ccscc.org. 831-475-9600 and online at ccscc.org.
I'm sure you've heard this.
Flowerpowerdrink.com.
Now, here's a new idea. 1 cup ice, 1 cup water into a blender, 2 scoops of vanilla whey powder, 1 packet of Paul Burst natural energy drink.
Flowerpowerdrink.com.
Blend till smooth. Mmm, just like an orange creamsicle. Take you back to the good old days. Enjoy.
Flowerpowerdrink.com.
Hi, it's Jacoby here, inviting you to join me this Saturday for Raising the Standards. This week, when we... Maybe I could just do it live every time. Just call me. 3, 2, 1. Hi, Jacoby here, inviting you to join me this Saturday for Raising the Standards. We'll have some music for the soul and some conversation for the mind. Join me and my co-host Rachel, the lovely Rico, Xena the Warrior Princess, and that goofy little guy that does the show after us. It all happens this Saturday, 3 to 5, only here on KSCO.
We've all heard the term baby boomer referring to those born from 1946 to 1964. There are an estimated 80 million baby boomers, with the first wave hitting the Social Security and Medicare systems in recent years, with more to follow. Many healthcare experts are predicting epidemics of Alzheimer's, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and cancer among this group. However, these impending epidemics can be averted, as there is a new group emerging. This group we call the baby bloomers, because despite their chronological age, they are still physically fit, active, working, and playing. They've heard Dr. Wallach's message regarding diet, lifestyle, and nutritional supplementation. So while many around them diminish in health and vitality, they are blossoming and blooming into vibrant, healthy, on-the-go people. Wouldn't you rather be a longevity baby bloomer? For more information or to order, call Andy or Phyllis Anderson at 888-245-0300. That's 888-245-0300.
Every Saturday from noon to 1, the Perspectives Radio Show is heard on KSCO. Every week, they interview well-known experts on a variety of topics such as holistic health, constitutional issues, and local and national issues. For example, they would like everyone in Santa Cruz County to know that the Planning Department policy of handing out red tags to thousands of homes has been declared illegal by the state of California's 6th Court of Appeals. Listen in every Saturday from noon to 1 to Perspectives as they discuss these and many other important issues.
Back to hour number 2 of the Saturday special with Ren Tawil and Kay's Whirling. I'm MZ, your host for the Saturday special. We're going to be on the air right up until noontime, which is about 26 minutes from now. Phone number, if you want to reach us and be part of the program, is area code 831 479-1080, 479-1080. Love to hear from you. Love to have you join the conversation. We'll take our next caller right now. That will be Brian in Salinas. Brian, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you, Michael. I love KSEO, and I love this program. I love your mom, too. I've met her. It was good. The dog.
Your dog likes me, too.
Yeah, he does. So I just wanted to say there's a number of things I was thinking to say. And we have a problem with governments getting in the way, and here we have a concerned citizen involvement discussion where, a non-governmental interest is discussing, hugely, profound issues such as getting along. We have a big problem with the Creator God himself, who very much loves Israel and historically has always shown up in a big, big way when there was an attack on his people. So I'm a Christian, and I see many areas to massage and make right, and praying to the Creator God is a very good way to get some answers. Praying to the moon is idolatry, as I would see it. So we have some problems with different philosophies there, but we can repent and turn back to this God who loves us. And I thought, well, I'll just add those few little thoughts in there. And
we're happy you did.
Thank you.
And also the British keep getting in the way. We have even yet there's a stirring where we keep having religions played against each other. We have strengths played against each other, or colors or borders. Where we have enforced. Divisions of busing or of funding or one thing or another, just to keep sides from coming together. Whereas when I look at things, I see Muslim families and they seem to love their little ones and their women are beautiful and their men are strong, so why, we come to this false conclusion that why just can't we get along? That's what we should do, but.
I would like to address this. The thing about religions being pitted against one another certainly does muddy the waters, and I think a big contributor to that murkiness is how the Christian community, particularly in the United States, has been captured by the Israeli narrative and propaganda. And the Christian community, the most fundamentalist of them anyway, find an intrinsic necessity to support Israel, which is a political manifestation. It has to do with prophecy. And as far as the Christians are concerned, the fulfillment of biblical prophecy includes the conversion of all Jews to Jesus, which is really what they're interested in doing. The long and short of it is Israel has an emotional control over much of the beliefs of the fundamentalist Christian community. And that's not right in the political world.
Okay. Hey, I want to thank you for calling, Brian and Salinas. Our next caller will be Kim in Carmel. Welcome to KSCO. Kim, you're on the air.
Yes, I kind of tuned in late, and maybe you covered some of my questions. If peace is wanted so badly by the Palestinian Arabs, and of course there were Palestinian Jews at one time also, and some of them are still actually living in the state of Israel, why does the PLO charter still call for the elimination of Israel? That's my question one. And the next question that I have that I don't know if you answered because I turned in late was why do all the Palestinian Arab TV children's show have propaganda telling them that they should be strapping explosives to their bodies and blowing themselves up and killing the Jews? And if they want peace so badly, why are they sending rockets into Israel on a almost daily basis? And if they want peace so badly, why are they calling some of their public squares and parks after people who have gone into Israel to blow up people and kill them. I mean, I tuned in late, so maybe you already addressed some of those
questions. No, those are good questions.
These are considered martyrs, those who have blown themselves up, regardless of what one thinks about the efficacy of that strategy, of that activity. They name these places after them to honor the movement for resistance.
If you praise that kind of activity, then you're encouraging it to continue, and you're saying, oh, that's a good thing and a wonderful thing. So how can you really want to have some kind of peace?
As I said at the outset, both sides have made mistakes. In fact, one of my talking points that I never got to begin with was I want to emphasize that all sides in the conflict are stained with guilt. Both have committed terrorist acts. Both have used torture.
Doing it. They're sending rockets into Israel on a daily basis.
Hamas specifically is doing that from Gaza. Hamas has their rift with the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank. And both have changed and reneged on negotiation positions. I'm not happy about the fact that there is this contradiction of the PLO's remaining part of their charter that calls for supposedly for the destruction of Israel.
Exactly.
Well, I was told that the
there it is. Go read it. It's on every you're the one who referred to sites on the computer. I don't believe half of them anyway, but there's a complete listing of what the charter says in lots of different locations, and it distinctly calls for the elimination of the State of Israel, and all of their maps also never show the State of Israel on their maps. I don't think that's a peaceful thing either.
Well, this is another matter of reciprocity. For the longest time, Zionist settlers and the first Israelis did not recognize at all a nationhood of Palestinians. They didn't recognize a Palestine. In fact, the earliest Israeli settlers referred to themselves as Palestinians, ignoring the native Arabs who lived there, regardless of what they're called. It is, in fact, Israel who has usurped the land and the rights.
They have bought and paid every single inch of land, with the exception of some pieces of land that are still held by the government in the name of the original people who have the right to own it.
Ma'am, are you familiar with Plan Dalit, 1948? The first half of the year when the Palestinian Zionists and several well-organized militant gangs impinged on the Arabs and killed many of them and expelled them from their lands, including inside the designated Arab state area. This was not land that was bought. This was force of arms, and they were doing this before the Arabs invaded.
I'm not sure what propaganda you're reading.
Ma'am, I go to the most neutral sources.
You need to go through some of the United Nations material, unless you consider that material is not good.
You need to go through all available material. I'm sure that, you know, you tend to prefer your propaganda. I tend to prefer mine. But I try to include neutral sources. This is actually actual history that I'm telling you. It's not a mythology.
Sounds like mythology to me. Sounds like mythology to me when you don't know that the charter calls for the destruction of the State of Israel.
I do know that it does.
And when you don't know that not only are they killing Jews, but they're also killing Christians and getting rid of all of the Christian Arabs that they can get rid of.
Yeah, that doesn't help matters. That's another area that I'm not happy about. I'm not going to defend every last thing that the Palestinians or the PA does because I'm interested in Palestinian nationhood. The killing of Christians is happening because of the pressure that the Muslims have been under for six decades now. If they had
they
a state
could have
of their
had
own.
Their independence in 1948, but they refused it.
All righty. Thank you very much for your participation in the Saturday special. Can we really
thank
appreciate
you
your call?
For trying to answer some of my questions.
Okay. Appreciate it. Our next caller will be Clive in Santa Cruz. Hi, Clive. You're on the air.
Thank you. I'm a great admirer of Israel, even though I'm not religious myself. Why do you think the world hates the Jews? What's the real reason?
Who's that question directed to, Kay?
Well, whoever knows.
I think God loves the Jews, and maybe that's the reason.
Doesn't God love everyone, even if they sin?
I mean, I'm a scholar, not a scholar. I know a lot about the Holocaust and stuff like that, right? But it just seems to be that the world hates the Jews, and I don't know why exactly they do.
I agree.
The Holocaust remembrance movement is touted by some, including Norman Finkelstein, to be a virtual business, generating Holocaust memories and these constant reminders of what happened in publications. And AIPAC has a hand in this, and American Jews certainly have a hand in reminding the world over and over again what happened in World War II. What happened in World War II is terrible. I certainly do not defend it. I don't hate Jews. I don't hate Semites. I'm half Semitic myself, only I happen to be an Arab, not a Jew.
Mm-hmm. I see. Well, thank you very much.
All righty. Thank you. That was Clive in Santa Cruz. We're going to go on to our next caller now. The Saturday special. Mike in Aptos called 479-1080, and we're happy he did. You're on the air, Mike.
Yeah, I wanted to know why the anti-Israeli movement has such vehemence against Israel when there's so many other problems in the world. If you look at the abuse the Palestinians are suffering, it is minuscule compared to other nations in that region. And why aren't you as concerned about how the Muslim nations abuse their Christian and Jewish communities? I think it's rooted in anti-Semitism, and I think you're being very disingenuous.
You, sir, do not know that I'm not interested in the other problems. There's no question that there are other problems in the world. Just because there are other problems does not mean that I cannot dedicate myself to this one, perhaps relatively small issue. What stands out about the Arab-Israeli debacle is that Israel has maintained effectively the status quo in that land for so long, and they've done so by very active pursuit of assistance from the United States government and from the American taxpayer. And go to the website ifamericansknew.org, and you will see no question that they have their slant, but you will see that they are concerned about this long-standing maintaining of the status quo by people who don't want to cross. The Jews, because they don't want to be labeled as anti-Semites. Americans and American politicians in particular are scared to death of being labeled as an anti-Semite. Charges of anti-Semitism is not a legitimate or proper way to counter reasonable criticism of Israel. There's going to be criticism of Israel. And for someone to run all the time to this to the position, oh, they're just anti-Semite, they just hate the Jews, that is ingenuous, and that does not address the proper issues.
So then, if you are half-Semitic, you've read the Quran?
No.
You have not read the Quran?
Christian Arab. My father was a Christian Arab. I grew up as a Lutheran.
Okay. Then your father, or at least his relatives, lived under dimitude under the Ottoman Empire. And if so, he understands why Israel is concerned about their borders being defensible. A lot of the people that you support, a lot of the movements that you align yourself with, favor the right of return. And I think you'd have to be an idiot to not understand that to the Israelis, that is a guaranteed death of their nation and of probably hundreds of thousands of their population. And why, you know, people that criticize Israel so vehemently don't understand that,
as being their position is really beyond me.
Israel has had their right of return. That's where the term comes from, Israel's decision to, number one, proclaim all Jews everywhere in the world to be automatically Israeli citizens. They may come from anywhere to settle Israel. And this is, in fact, what the Israelis have done to the native Arab population. They, the Palestinians are the ones who've suffered greatly under this longstanding Jewish or Israeli right of return. The right of return for Jews is still has never been rescinded. They have their own right of return.
Okay, want to move on. We got quite a number of callers. Want to thank Mike in Aptos for his call to the Saturday special. The next caller is Tom in Monterey. Welcome to KSCO, Tom. Thanks for calling 479-1080.
All right, thank you. I just got a couple questions for Ren. I just want to try to understand your logic. First, you talk a lot about the foreign aid that the United States gives to Israel. So do you favor withdrawing foreign aid just for Israel or all foreign aid to all countries?
You know, people have made the charge over and over that Israel receives the largest chunk of, is the number one recipient of American foreign aid. And then people who support Israel counter back that, well, Egypt is the second largest recipient of foreign aid. Well, that's really because of the existence of Israel and because of the ongoing conflict there. That Egypt is the second recipient. It's the balancing act that the U.S. is performing to maintain its relationships with the Arab world and the Muslim world. I think there are American support, American taxpayer support of Israel is highly disproportionate to the reality of the world. I mean, we are effectively the godfather of Israel, maintaining the support. And it's a very active Jewish community in the U.S., which blindly takes for granted that Israel is the victim here, is always threatened by the Arab states and by the native Palestinians, when it is in fact Israel that is expanded. If you look at the history of the wars, it was always Israel that took over land and in only a few cases had to give it back.
Okay, so we'll get past that. You didn't answer the question, but
I would like to answer your question.
The question was, do you favor, let's say, balancing foreign aid around the world? Say you say we give disproportionately to Israel. Well, should we just give proportionally to everybody? Or should we not be involved in foreign affairs?
We certainly should be involved in foreign affairs.
Foreign aid, I think you meant.
I want to move on to the second one, and it's another logic question. Millie earlier talked about, she touched on when the Jews, the diaspora, when Titus Vespasian sacked Jerusalem and destroyed the temple, and there was the diaspora, and you essentially said, well, things happen. And that's another way of saying to the victors go the spoils. Well, why don't you apply the same logic now? I mean, if Israel has the upper hand, why can't you apply the same logic? I mean, it was okay when the Romans sacked Jerusalem and the Jews got scattered, but if the Jews...
I never said it was okay. I never said...
If the Jews conquered lands, that's not okay. It's okay for the Romans.
I didn't say that. Jerusalem. I wasn't siding with the Romans. I was reciting history as I understand it. It's superficial as it may be. I'm not a scholar. I don't know a lot, as I said earlier, about biblical times in the Holy Land, what was emerging as the Holy Land. As far as
it's a simple question of logic. If it was, you know, if you said things happen and that's part of history, then, well, here's history happening right now, and things happen. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Am I supposed to?
If I'm applying the logic that you used to answer Millie's question. And in the same token, should the United States give back Hawaii to the native people there, which became a state in 1959 after the whole Israeli thing? I mean, let's take the logic to its logical conclusion.
Okay, once again, there are a myriad of problems around the world, and comparing every last one to the Arab-Israeli situation and using it to try to invalidate Palestinian national movement is a non-starter. I mean, you cannot use situations around the world to quash any arguments in favor of Palestinians.
Right, but Israel has definable borders, and the Palestinians also have definable borders in the Transjordan area, which is now Jordan, which is a larger area than all of Israel, all of Palestine. That was marked out for the Arab peoples, the Transjordan area. And the population of Jordan is 75% what you'd consider Palestinian. So why can they not resettle in that area? Why is this big fight over Israel? Why this push?
There are Israelis who would love to see the Palestinians leave. As Kay put it once on the air, Kay said, the Palestinians just want Israel to go away. It is, in fact, Israel who has forced on two major occasions massive flights of refugees, and that's by design. That's the stuff of Zionism. It's called Goyim Rain, to keep the area clear of Arabs. And that was called for as long ago as the 1920s when Jewish people were advocating the forced transfer of Arabs from Palestine into Iraq and into these far-flung other parts of the Arab world. They saw no problem at all with getting rid of the Arabs and not recognizing that there are Palestinians, that there are native Arabs. The Arabs certainly should not have to leave. That just plays into the hands of the Zionist framework.
Okay, got so many other callers. Want to thank the current caller, Tom in Monterey, for your great, thoughtful call to the Saturday special. So appreciate it. There goes Tom in Monterey. Here comes our next caller, Bill, also in Monterey. You're on the air, Bill.
Yeah, I was wondering if your guests, I got two questions, but I was wondering if your guests would think that the militant Muslims would quit making war if they had their own state.
If Palestine had its own state, for one thing, they can get a lot done for their own people. Israel always centers the justification of a Palestinian state on Israel's security, when that's not the central issue. The central issue is self-determination for the Arabs, for the Palestinians. And I'm sure there will continue to be militant Palestinians in a new Palestine. But as I said to the last caller, it is Israel came very close some 60 years ago to eliminating anyone's hope of a Palestinian state.
Okay.
So you believe they'll still be making war even if they have their own state?
There will be the rule of law in a national Palestine. We in the West and in Israel may not agree with all points of rule of law, but it will be their rule of law, and they will be in a position to enforce internationally recognized dictates of civil behavior.
Okay, Bill, thanks very much for your call. We go now to Ken in Castroville. You're on the air on KSCO, Ken.
Hey, thanks for having me. And sure. I just got one question. Outside of Israel, what other state are the Palestinians trying to get land from, or other countries that are willing to give land to the Palestinians?
Great question. What do you know?
I know nothing about that.
Okay, well, thanks for closing.
Then it shouldn't be just Israel having to give up land. It should be other neighboring countries that support Palestine.
If they
support Palestine to become a state, they should be willing to give up some of their land that are neighbors to that area so they can have a state, not just Israel.
Israel should not be pushing the growth and expansion of its illegal settlements. The Palestinians shouldn't have to move anywhere. They're the ones who've been impinged on and squeezed out over and over and over again. Let's look at the actual history of what's going on. Instead of always talking about this perpetual threat to Israel, which is maintained by a lot of loudmouth Arabs and Arab governments, stop playing the victim card for Israel and start looking at what Israel has done to prevent peace, effectively prevent peace, effectively prevent the nation of Palestine. Let's look at the land that they've taken and how they deny certain rights among Israeli Palestinians. It is not true that Palestinians in Israel have all the same rights. Palestinian Arabs are often overridden by others who want their land or their sources of water. It's not this democratic haven that we in the United States are used to hearing about.
How come Israel is so tiny? What are we fighting about? Israel is so tiny.
And Palestine. Mm-hmm. As the PA
and
recognizes, it's even
says,
smaller. Palestine.
Saudi Arabia is a great big Palestinian land.
No, it's not a Palestinian land.
Well, not a Palestinian. It's Saudi. It's an Arab land.
Well, this is just a question of geography. It happens to be small because that's the biblical
Israel
history and everything is there.
How come Israel is so tiny? And you want
no, you're just playing the victim card again, Kay. You want people to feel sorry for this poor little nation, which is always set upon by the Arabs, who are always losing the wars that Israel starts against.
I told you once, many times I've said it. You can go up to Israel in 8 hours.
Yeah, I know it's small.
And so what do you want from it?
I want
how, you want half of it? For the Palestinians?
Let's start with the post-1967 June war borders and then make our negotiations and our land swaps.
I think you meant pre-1967 borders. Pre-June 1967. Anyhow, last caller. Tony in Watsonville, you're on the air. We're already spilled into the news, but go ahead, Tony, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. I just had a simple question. I was going to ask the gentleman if he's seen a difference between a Mason and an American. That was just my first question.
I'm sorry, between a what and an American?
The Masons and being an American. Did you see a difference?
I was reading the Hamas Charter the other day, in which, by the way, I never saw the word destruction or destroy referring to Israel. The Hamas Charter, that is. They maintain that Masons are a Zionist organization in cahoots with the Jews. That's their position. Hamas has nasty things to say about various parties. So your most militant Arabs will say that Masons are, in effect, Zionist supporters.
Okay. Anyway, we got to go to Scott, our last caller. Scott, real quick.
John Paul II said everyone needs a homeland. So I think we need personal relationships. Things change when we develop personal relationships with Yasser Arafat through Unification Church, Universal Peace Federation. We need a second house of the UN that needs to be a religious house. That's all. Thanks. God bless.
Okay. Yeah. Almost 2 minutes past 12 noon. Ren Tawil, thanks very much for coming on the Saturday special.
Michael, thank you so much. And I want to thank Kay for being willing to sit with me and to talk about this stuff. I feel much better that I've gotten this stuff off my chest.
Good.
And we're still going to have our disagreements, but I want to end by saying, for my part, I want to end by saying, when you look at the truth of the other side, to what's real for the opposing party, a lot of it's going to hurt. I've been hurt by stupid things that the Arabs may have done, that Arab governments have done. You got to be willing to look at all facets of both sides, the bad as well as the good.
And thank you, Ma, for coming on.
Sure.
Appreciate it. That's it, gang. See you next week. And tune into the rerun tonight, 10 to midnight.
That's all, folks.
KSEO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. We join Fox News in progress.
Shot and killed a man in a wheelchair after they say he pointed a gun at them. Cops say two veteran officers went to the main bus and light rail station downtown after someone reported gunshots. The Arizona Republican newspaper say the man pulled a gun as police approached. Police fired when he refused to drop the weapon. No one would have shown up at this convention a few weeks ago.
The organizing group calls itself OutServe, and until recently its members' names were secret. But with the legal permission of Congress and the President, the military now has abolished Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And between 200 and 300 gay active duty soldiers, sailors, Marines, and flyers are meeting in Las Vegas. The OutServe Chapter Leaders Conference features programs on such topics as religion, marriage, family benefits, and post-military career opportunities. One sponsor of the convention is the CIA, which is recruiting. Steve Taylor, Fox News Radio.
Knee surgery may not always be the best option for athletes.
Are you an athlete considering reconstruction surgery for a torn ACL? A study in the American Journal of Sports Medicine finds that half of people who have this knee surgery don't perform as well in sports as they used to. Most athletes said they returned to sports after the procedure, but many said they didn't play as often or as well. One doctor suggests before having the surgery, athletes should consider wearing a knee brace and physical therapy. House Call for Health. I'm Marge Tashina, Fox News Radio.
Lady Gaga will be among the artists performing for former President Bill Clinton tonight in Los Angeles. The show is to celebrate the 10th anniversary of the William J. Clinton Foundation, which looks to, among other things, improve health around the world, including childhood health. The foundation also looks to improve the economy of nations around the world. The foundation was set into motion 10 years ago. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
KSEO Santa Cruz, this is Nikki James, and I'm here reporting at KSEO 1080, and I've got your weather report for the weekend. It looks like we got mostly cloudy today. There's the music. Fantastic. It looks like it's going to be mostly cloudy today, maybe some sun peeking out a little later. High of about 76, south-southeast winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy, low of 56, light winds, and Sunday, we have partly sunny skies, high of 74, southwest winds, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Out there on the Monterey Bay, west winds, 5 knots, increasing 5 to 15 this afternoon. Wind waves will be less than 2 feet. Mixed swell west 2 to 3 feet at 10 seconds and south 3 feet at 16 seconds. And tonight out there, west winds 5 to 15 knots becoming southwest. 5 knots after midnight. Wind waves less than 2 feet. West swell 2 to 3 feet at 10 seconds and southwest 3 feet at